life learning curve.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast Life's Learning Curve. Who am I? I'm Paul Hart, and I'm a lifelong video producer and creative director. I love to write things. I like to research things. I've just been that way my whole life. And I get to wear many hats in my life. I'm a father. I'm a parent. I have two great kids, a son, a brother, a teacher, a musician sometimes, a creator of videos of what I call many amazing flavors because they're kind of diverse. So I've been very lucky. If you put all that in the pot and stir it up, it's my composite.
Life's learning curve.
Here we find ourselves making that discovery of just how we became us. Sometimes how we became the best us that we could be.
The best us.
We're going to talk about random acts of kindness. And today, one in particular random act of kindness that was actually a huge favor. It became a forward moving point for my family and me. So how did you become the best version of you? How did you go about getting there? Subscribe to this podcast and you may discover some of the people, experiences, and events that built your character. It's magic, like I say, it's tragic at times, but it's pretty cool when you think about it. So let's roll. Sebastian.
Life's Learning Curve. I'm Paul Hart. Today's episode, Bringing Back Lake Geneva. Stand by.
Still middle class all the way. That was my family growing up. My family of four had a few tremendous opportunities that we would have never experienced without stumbling upon some good people doing some great things for other people.
Selfless.
The time frame was around 1969, and my family, at the time, my mom, my dad, my sister Sue, age 16, and me, age 12, were able to have this extended life experience and experiences beyond our middle class existence. These were special gifts given to us by special people. I need to add that these unexpected experiences would have never happened to my family.
Never.
Such as I talked about one time on another episode of the podcast. There's one called Apple Orchard Summers. We got a free pass to this country club called Apple Orchard for several summers. Life's Learning Curve, episode 6.
Rudy.
Or this one, the Lake Geneva experience. Just wouldn't have happened without the graciousness of these people. Now, in your life, if you live your day-to-day existence in chaos and anger, that's your life. But for me, in my family, it was not that. It was love. It was patience. It was lots of expectations and jobs to be done. That was fact. I had two extraordinary parents. You don't know things like this until you grow up and you make some comparisons here and there. My mom was a happy, very upbeat person that laughed and chatted with people, liked to talk on the phone. People liked my mom's company. My mother's personality and her nurturing ability, along with being able to play piano by ear, made her really fun to have around.
Play us some songs, Shirley.
Yeah, let's sing.
Yeah, we'll sing with you. Yeah.
You know, and I heard that so often when my mom was around and I was there. So soon people would gather around the common piano wherever we were, and she would play and people would begin to sing songs. Old songs, new songs, current songs, classic standards. Whether it was Christmas or any holiday or whatever, my mom was always willing to laugh, smile, hug hard, listen eagerly, and she added music to the setting. My dad was her biggest fan. He was not a music person, meaning he didn't play an instrument. He loved music, though. One of my mom's very closest friends was a woman named Mary Lund, and she taught kindergarten at the school where my father was principal.
Hi, Jeremy. How's everything?
They had long, long phone conversations that I remember were full of laughter and more stories. And very often spent time at Leonard and Mary's house in the town in which we lived. Now that I'm older and I have encountered my share of discontented and occasionally unhappy people,
so mad.
When I compare that to my mother, who's passed,
I love you, dear hearts.
I recall that she brought a lot to life's table. I just want to say, regarding my mom, what a lovely and special person she was. A true, true rare find in life.
That's my mom.
Now, my dad, I've spoken about frequently here on the podcast. He was my idol, my truest, truest friend, and...
You want to come with Dad?
Role model.
Sure, be right there.
See Life's Learning Curve, episode 11, my dad's voice, for a lot more on that. So for today, without repeating myself, I just want to echo that my parents were a great team. Each brought out the better person in the other person. And I was so used to this proactive process that it wasn't until my mother passed away I saw how she had brought out the best person in my dad. She brought out the best in all of us. And now, we just had no one to reciprocate with anymore. My dad was just not the best he could be without her. So as a married couple, they were fun, they were devoted unconditionally, and loved to share company with other like-minded people. Right around the same time, we stopped going because we'd lost our pass at Apple Orchard Country Club. It had been a fun time. This is around the late 60s, as I said, and in the late 60s, our nation was in a cultural revolution of sorts. There was rioting on the streets, civil rights marches, the Vietnam War. It all came right through the screen of our television every night at dinner time. Things were happening, and like a thief in the night, the more simpler things, the more innocent days of the previous decade seemed to have disappeared. I was about 11 years old, and my father was, among other things, a school principal, like I said at the time. My family was asked to do a favor for one of my father's teachers, who was very sick. Her name was Mary Lund, as I brought up before, and she and her husband, Leonard, owned a basic no-frills rustic cottage up in Wisconsin on a beautiful piece of land just off a gorgeous lake named Lake Geneva. Mary and Leonard had us as guests at their cottage on Lake Geneva the previous fall, just after she had been diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. As a child, I did not know of her sickness, so my recollections were very pure and driven by adventure and discovery at the time. I was a huge wow factor type of kid at that age, and everything was amazing to me. That crisp fall weekend, Leonard and Mary took my entire family of four out on the lake in his cabin, mahogany classic wooden boat. With Leonard driving and Mary as co-pilot, we accelerated to a safe cruising speed. Huge wow factor for me, although I tried to stay cool about it.
So much fun.
It was a beautiful wooden boat, great for fishing, great for skiing and other water sports. And this type of cruiser boat was family friendly and had a closed deck over the boat's bow, storage space for emergency supplies, and maybe even a picnic basket or two. I remember how fun it had been to go on that boat ride, that beautiful Lake Geneva crisp fall day. And the medium-sized motorboat accelerated as it came up. My sister and I couldn't help but smile. We smiled bigger and bigger the faster the boat went. We loved that feeling. We were just city kids at the time, and this was all something really special. A remote cottage in the woods on this beautiful lake. Nice. A year passed, and Mary's health was not improving. So the following summer, my parents explained Mary's illness to my sister and me. And I learned that terrible word for the first time, and it would often be repeated throughout my life, and it never brought about anything good, happy, or anything positive. Cancer. Also, I was told that our family had been asked a favor by Mary herself.
You would be doing Leonard and me a favor by using the cottage at Lake Geneva. Put it to good use, Bob. You and Shirley, you and the kids. Take the family up there and just enjoy the land. Take the small towns in. It's quiet and the country life is fun.
My parents agreed to that. Country life was fun. We heard about it constantly at home. However, this favor Mary was asking was, it was really no favor at all, but rather a gift.
A gift.
It was a gift to my family. Mary and Leonard had asked us if we could look after their summer cottage.
Rake leaves.
Mow the grass.
Clean gutters.
Use the cottage.
Trim trees.
You know, keep it clean, functional.
Bushes.
As Mary had become just too ill to make that journey up north to Lake Geneva, we began to make the hour and 20-minute trek there weekly. And sometimes we would even stay at the cottage for weeks at a time. All I knew is that we were going to care for their cottage while Leonard took care of Mary. Once again, time frame, late 60s. And our nation was in this cultural correction. It was a time things were happening musically, too, as well as politically and creatively. A colorful, gifted artist named Peter Max was really big at the time, and he used these extremely bright colors in his work, and colors you normally don't see together, bold reds and oranges and yellows and things. We saw works by Jackson Pollock, and Andy Warhol was doing his own thing with his art. I always think of the Campbell soup cans. These people were connected with the visual arts scene and the culture in the 1960s, and people and culture began to adapt. This was called the psychedelic era.
Psychedelic.
This work was called pop art, and it was everywhere. Even in these tiny towns, these remote towns near Lake Geneva, places called Delavan, Williams Bay, Fontana, Walworth, there was a new wave of radicalism. From student protests demanding clarity, etc., to the counterculture revolution that swept the world, the decade transformed the social and political landscape. These same effects are still felt today. The time frame was the late 1960s. I've said that umpteen times.
Google.
And I most definitely looked and felt like a big old clunky 13-year-old kid trying to fit into that uber cool time frame.
Awkward.
In a remote Wisconsin lake town. Lake Geneva was about an hour and 20 minutes or so ride by car from our house in the mid-Midwest. The excitement of just getting in the car, the four of us, and driving there every week was kind of magical.
Look at that. Kids, look. Over there is the well that pumps water. There's the last town in Illinois before we enter Wisconsin.
Cool.
Look at the funny name of that motel on the left. Heidi Ho Hotel.
Yep.
We said these words every time we traveled north, but that was just a part of it all. I liked being outside a lot. Our car made the turn off of State Road 120 south to Lakeshore, and then we found a street named Lynn Road. And I could feel the excitement. At home, I didn't go to school where my friends lived. So I often stayed inside and wrote stories. I cartooned and I dreamed. At Lake Geneva, I was outside.
Let's go.
Climbing trees, mowing, exploring the dense woods, swimming at the beach, and learning how to live without TV. It turned out to be quite easy, and it was a lot of fun.
We used to play all day until the sun sunlit up the sky. Purples, reds, and blues, canvas was my life. All I have to show for this is memories in my head. My reality's turned into dreams and into the past. Let me play, let me play out on the grass. Let me just play for 10 minutes longer. I wanna see how high I can get and clear the lines away. But that's all I want, to never grow up.
My dad worked all June, he worked all July, and he would often take us up to the cottage for the weekend and leave to go back home to go to work for the week. And he would return to be with us the following Friday. There were no cell phones back then, so a phone call was really never expected, and I can't remember the phone ringing more than once or twice. And it would be Leonard or Mary just checking in to see how things were going.
Hi, Julie, how's everything
Very
going
kind.
There?
My dad was there every day in August. Since we had no TV reception, we looked for other things to do. We played lots and lots of card games. We played board games. We read books. We drew. We explored taking long walks. We had bonfires outside in the back at night and collected wood for that. Fun stuff. This was the first time that I felt I had so much free time. I began to dream about my future. You know, when you have silence, total silence, you begin to think about things, other things. My inability to look like the cool kids of the late 60s were just not meshing with my actual organic appearance at the time. Awkward, somewhat chubby, and absolutely no trendy clothes or cool colors. And I began to see that my older sister Sue had a few colorful and trendy outfits. I decided that I felt more acceptable if I was seen with her
Sue?
When we went into town.
Can I walk with you?
Sue had always been a very smart and a very pretty girl. It's kind of hard to be objective when you're somebody's brother. I just deduced that from seeing a lot of the very popular boys in her junior high school stopping by and seeking her attention. And so often, these groups of boys would come by our house in the Midwest, and they stopped by and they talked to my sister. But it's funny because they also spent 50% of the time trying to talk to her, and the other 50% they talked to my mom or my dad. My mom and dad were still really engaging, fun people. They never tried to act like kids. They always were adults. Just good people. Back to Lake Geneva. The Lynn Road Lake Geneva Cottage became like a TV show for our family. We were up there practically every week in 1969.
Every week.
No, definitely every week in 1969.
Every week.
And I decided this because my parents might invite other families to come up there to share time. So we would have guests come over to the cottage.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Lake Geneva Great Lynn Road Summer Cottage Show. Our guests this week are...
Our guests are some of our favorite family friends, like a couple named Rose and Rich. One was a friend of my mom's from teaching. Another one named Marilyn and her two daughters. We invited an entire family, the Multiple Mungai family, who was a male teacher with a super dry sense of humor, which my father was particularly close with at his school. I recall that he had twin daughters that were older than me by a few years, and they were very outgoing. And they delighted one night at the bonfire, telling Sue and me ghost stories or scary stories as we sat around this blazing fire. On their very first night there, ghost stories. Now, intrigued by these stories, which I had never heard before, ever, I realized I had never been told a ghost story prior to that age. Somehow my parents had kept this type of thing away from me, and I realized this was a whole new world of something I just didn't know about. And I believed everything at that age. And I had that active imagination. So I quickly decided that these stories all had to be true. Later that night, we all went to bed, and I heard every noise in the cottage, wall, every creak, every moan of the house, especially outside. There was that movement, probably from animals or something. At that age, there's nothing quite as scary than being put to bed and not being able to sleep. Then, hearing nine people, everybody in the cottage, drift off to a blissful, relaxed, easy breathing sleep. And there you are. Left to deal with whatever ghost or killer or imaginary person your brain has whipped up. My mind raced a million miles an hour that night. First, as I laid there in my cot, I realized I needed to remain awake all night just to keep an eye and all the evil away. You know, if I wasn't doing it, who was going to do it? How would I manage this terror in the future? How did it just not get me in the past? I wondered if my parents knew all these stories. Were they true?
I only have to save everyone.
Were all these stories real?
Yeah.
I had no idea, but I was one of these kids that believed all stories were true.
Yeah.
I spent the rest of the week looking for a disconnected human hook hand hook thing in the handles of car doors. If you know that story. Every place we went, I was looking for a hook in a car door.
In the passenger side door, a disembodied bloody stump of a hooked hand.
It just took a few days, but my mom finally sat me down and put my mind to rest. And she told me,
"Honey, those are made-up stories people tell for fun around campfires."
Fun?
Why? Why would someone want to hear a scary story? I don't actually know, Paul. Some people like to be scared. Well, I don't, Mom. You know what, Paul? Me either.
Then she laughed it off, and eventually, so did I. But my clearest recollection, the thing I remember most, did not come from those terrifying ghost stories that summer, but rather it was the weekend my grandpa and my grandma guested at the cottage. Why? Well, little did we know, little did we suspect, that would be my best pal, my closest friend, my grandpa's last year with us. Later that fall, my grandpa passed while raking leaves. Although my connection with him had not been as tight as when I was little, it would prove to be a tremendous reality, tremendous pain, a loss that I still deal with even today. He brought me my first human friendship, happiness, modeled how to be a good man.
"You're my good man, my best man, and my dandy man."
And echoed the importance of being good to one another and had that great, quiet humor. A reference for the rest of my life and my future. Now, just down the road, we had relatives from my dad's side of the family. My dad's sister, my Aunt Ev, her husband, Uncle Bill, and my eight cousins, ranging in age from probably around 10 to 21 at the time. They were the Barretts. Eight kids. And that meant plenty of action and plenty of very homespun type of family on the lake fun type of stuff itself. It was cool. Some of my cousins were lifeguards. Some were swimmers, and then every morning they'd swim across the lake and back daily. I'd look out at the lake and go, "Well, how do you do that?" They just did. Some had become outstanding sailors, and my Aunt Ev and Uncle Bill took it all in stride. They were very calm about all this. To me, it was chaos, but it really wasn't chaos. It was just getting used to a larger family. They all had fun personalities and a broad range of ages. My sister Sue had great relationships with the four girls that were closest to her age. Now, for me, being kind of a shy kid, I hung out with my youngest cousin, the youngest of that family of the eight, named Billy. He was a great kid who somehow was even more shy than me, I believe. I remember him using a minimal amount of words to communicate. Billy might say,
Hi. Wanna go to the lake? Hungry? Go swimming? Towel?
I have to admit, I kinda liked it. Not a whole lot of words being wasted. Today, my cousin Billy is a senior captain at United Airlines and remains confident, practical, and has a really a great sense of humor, dry sense of humor, and quite a humble guy. I kind of imagine he keeps his announcements to his passengers abbreviated and short and concise. He's the captain, and he will make the announcements to his passengers.
Flight time, 2 hours, 37 minutes. Turbulence, 15 minutes. Starboard window, Salt Lake City. Sorry so chatty. Resume your flight experience, passengers.
My 13-year-old obsession with music at that time landed me in a small record store in the town of Walworth, Wisconsin. As my mom, sister, and dad shopped or just looked around, I hung out at the record store in the town square. I had no money at the time, so I would just go in and make a mental list of which album I would buy if I had the money. Which one would I choose? Well, Aqualung by Jethro Tull, Beach Boys live album, yeah. And then there was a Monkees album called Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn, and Jones Limited.
This one.
Just dreaming at the time. That was it. It was, in fact, ironic that I found out that just prior to beginning this podcast today, minutes ago, all three of these bands that I had lined up as albums I wanted to buy were playing less than a mile from the cottage in which we were staying.
What?
In the early weeks of July 1969. Less than a mile away from the Lynn Road Cottage was an outdoor concert venue called Majestic Hills Theater. Not there anymore.
What?
From the cottage at night, we could hear bands playing, somewhat distorted because it was off in the distance. But it was pretty cool. Had I actually known the bands that were playing that summer, I would have tried my hardest to get there to listen. But the fact is, just minutes prior to starting today's podcast, I thought, well, I'm going to go online on the interweb and look up who played there in 1969. So I Googled this, and I discovered who it actually was. Bands, The Who, Vanilla Fudge, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, The Monkees, Jethro Tull, The Buckinghams, and the original Beach Boys.
Oh, man.
Now, some of these artists, I spent hours looking at their albums in record stores nearby, especially like Jethro Tull, The Beach Boys, The Monkees. Incredible diversity when you're 13 years old. And it was ironic that these people were there. They were less than a mile away. I was dreaming of Hollywood and wondering what it was like where they were recording. They were right there. And I never knew it.
Oh, man.
It's probably a good thing that I never knew. Just an amazing newfound coincidence for me after all these years.
You think?
But the middle of August, I had managed to scrape and do some side jobs and earn $7.28, just enough to purchase, my choice was a Monkees album. I decided upon the Monkees. And the album was called Birds, Bees, and the Monkees. all squeaky clean content. My parents both grabbed that album after I purchased it, and they eyed it suspiciously in the front and the back as if there might be something irregular or inappropriate with the content.
Let's see that, Paul.
Just the title. That was it.
Yeah, let me look.
I remember drives around Lake Geneva that summer, often at sunset, and we trips to the city of Lake Geneva where my dad portioned me out a dollar's worth of quarters because there was an arcade there. I was a kid, need I say more? I played a pinball machine there for maybe an hour while my dad played another nearby machine and then patiently waited for my four quarters to run out. He knew I was doing something I really liked. My dad made it special by making it all happen for me. I thanked him. His answer?
You betcha, but we can't do this every time we come into town.
Okay, Dad, thanks.
We'd been hesitant to go into the actual town of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin that summer because safety might be a problem. In previous summers, rioters and looters had come into town and done some damage and knocked over a popular statue in town of a cartoon character named Andy Gump, and I didn't know who that was. My mother would say when she saw the empty pedestal to where the statue had been, she would say,
"That's where Andy Gump used to be."
My mother would always tell us that, time after time, and I never knew who Andy Gump was, but it was this cartoon guy, and it had to be unique if my mom and dad talked about it. So I recall spending three separate summers at Fontana Beach watching fireworks in my life. The feeling of this event was dramatic and patriotic as well. Yet, here we were at this summer vacation destination with all these towny locals. And the anticipation of this event was almost overwhelming for me. It was exciting. Something cool was going on and people were coming together. Prior to the fireworks, I watched small children throw their lit sparklers into the water just off the beach. And I never accessed or used that beach there ever again because I was worried about a sparkler winding up penetrating my foot and coming out the other side. You know, think about it. You know, as an adult, I've returned to Lake Geneva many times and have come to notice and realize that you cannot recreate something magical that once happened to you. Things like parades, fireworks, Halloween, they've kind of faded in our culture.
Why?
My father lived to see 91 years of age. 26 of those years were after my mom's passing. And that last summer, my dad called me up and he asked me if we could go to Lake Geneva and see the fireworks one more time. As we drove there, it was only me who piped up with, "Hey, Dad, there's that well that pumps water in that park. Remember that? There's that last town in Illinois before we enter Wisconsin, Dad. Dad, look at the funny name of that motel on the left there, the Heidi Ho Hotel." I saw him slightly grin and look at his eyes. They were gleaming. Our car made the turn off of State Road 120 to South Lakeshore and then found my aunt's house, her cottage, she and Uncle Bill had lived in. Still living there, but with more relatives. Uncle Bill had died years earlier. Side by side with my dad, I could feel the excitement again inside me. Struggling to walk, determination took him down that long path into the grassy area by the beach at my aunt's cottage. That afternoon, we all sat there, quietly talking and laughing a bit and Relatives stopped by and neighbors we had known for years came by. We were all much older. It was a breezy, warm summer afternoon and my dad even enjoyed a couple of cold beers. We sat in the plastic web chairs and Dad and I retold and remembered stories of our days here and at Marion Leonard's cottage. I could see how happy and rejuvenating this all was for him, and a lot of personality returned. There was a good deal of laughter that afternoon, and as the sun finally sizzled, setting into the western landscape, my dad stood up.
"Come on,"
he said.
"Okay."
And we walked out to the end of the dock where the young people all hung out to watch the rocket's red glare.
"Look at that one, Mom. Dad, you see that? Nice." "Mm-hmm, Paul. I'm glad we're here, Paul."
After a tremendous fireworks show, my dad beckoned to me, and I leaned in, and he said to me quietly,
"I want to tell you something.
This is where I used to bring your mom to see fireworks when we first moved to town. You know, before you and your sister, before children. It'd be NF, Uncle Bill, your mom and me, sitting right here on the edge of the dock."
That dark night on the drive home, I kept thinking about both my parents, and it wouldn't cease without adding more evidence. I can just tell you that both of my parents, what lovely, lovely, great people, both of them. Wow, what a rare find in life, and they found each other. So Lake Geneva had some memories, not just for me, but for my dad as well. Necessary nostalgia for loved ones past and present. So it can be important to recreate or possibly reclaim or revisit these feelings from time to time of times gone by. No harm, no foul, just some love. For Life's Learning Curve, I'm Paul Hart.
Subscribe to Life's Learning Curve at lifeslearningcurve.org and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Podchaser. Life's Learning Curve podcast is put together by producer Paul Hart with assistance by Cam Jackson, Leonard Lund, and ST Dog. We're mixed by Heidi Cerner, technical director Jack Saveda. As always, music and audio assistance by Riley Hart. Visit our website, lifeslearningcurve.org, and subscribe. In today's show, some voices were digitally enhanced for entertainment purposes only. I'm Paul Hart, and we will be back soon with more stories from Life's Learning Curve.
We're clear.
We're clear.
We're clear.
We're clear.